I think what I've recognized over this experience of med school and residency is that frequently the times in which I feel my absolute best and feel like I've really grown and am like becoming the person that I want to be are always after times of struggle and hardship.
Sadie Robinson is in her second year of emergency medicine residency. She's a former RealMD facilitator and U of U alum. In this episode, we look back on her time during medical school, the process of choosing her specialty, and the formative experiences that helped her grow. We also look forward at her current role and the things that bring her meaning. Throughout Sadie's journey, she has noticed the value of taking time to process experiences and build community. And most of all, the message that she encourages is to give yourself grace in whatever stage of training and during the inherent challenges you will face along the way. All right. I am so excited to have Dr. Sadie Robinson join us on the RealMD podcast this morning, bright and early, right?
Yeah, good morning.
So Sadie was one of the early original RealMD leaders and an alum of the University of Utah School of Medicine. More than that, she's just a great colleague and person who I've had the privilege of working with for quite a while, and we haven't touched base for quite a while. Sadie, maybe you could start by talking about where you are now and like what stage of your career you're in.
Yeah, so I am physically located at Portland, Maine right now. This is where I matched for residency in emergency medicine. I'm in about halfway through my second year of a three-year program. So that means I'm like pretty much dead set in the middle of my residency. So it's an interesting time to be reflecting, I think.
Yeah, and I think reflecting is a good thing, certainly a theme that in our careers, we look forward and we look back, and there are different moments where we're reflecting on what we've been through and where we're headed. So let's do a little bit of that. Let's go back to medical school. And I guess, you know, you've probably answered this question a million times, but why medicine for you? Like, what was the thing that kind of pointed you in that direction?
I still find this question hard to answer, even though I like answered it a million times during like residency interviews and whatnot. But I think for me, like I kind of just always knew that this was going to be my path. Even like when I was in like middle school and high school, people were like, what do you want to do when you grow up? It was like, I always just kind of knew I wanted to be in medicine and be a doctor. And I don't really think there was like any experience or any one person or anything that kind of like drove me to that. I just think I always found it interesting. And so I built my undergraduate career and med school. Like I kind of built all of that with that direction in mind. And so early on, I got like my EMT license and spent a lot of time working in hospitals and urgent cares and primary care clinics to kind of get a taste of what, you know, medicine actually felt like while I was going through college, and then just kind of kept those experiences up as I went through that path. And then I somehow ended up here. So
Now, working as an EMT, and we talked about this even when you were in medical school, it seemed to give you a different, I think, perspective. I don't know if that was a clinical experience lens or having worked before. Did you feel like that informed your time as a medical student?
I absolutely did. And I still think those experiences are formative, even like this far into like residency. I think that those experiences are like kind of invaluable for providing some context and perspective. In med school, I think it provided like a lens in which to view book medicine that you're learning for like the first half of medical school. And then you can kind of apply it to things that you've heard and experienced. And then now I think that lens has shifted quite a bit, and it helps provide this perspective of what medicine looks like being not a provider and being like the staff person or the person that's doing a lot of the tasks and whatnot. And so I think it helps me keep a healthy, I guess, perspective and helps me improve my relationships with the people that I'm working with.
Yeah, you seem to have like an early sense of the team and being on a team and how that works, even before you had like this, I'm a physician, like position. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
I I think back to like some of the experiences I had when I worked in the emergency department and, you know, taking care of really sick people. And in that role, like my job was pretty task-based, like get a set of vital signs, put in an IV, do that kind of thing. But while those tasks seem like pretty easy and pretty like straightforward, there's always something that comes up that has really hard patient access or like, you know, something that, you know, delays the next step. And so my role in that team was vital, even though sometimes the jobs didn't feel like that. And the people that I was surrounded with, the nursing staff and the providers in that position, like as we all worked together as a team to do troubleshoot, problem solve, and get the patient to where they needed to be, I think that was a good context for like now as I've switched roles into that team and knowing how to help navigate and help problem solve with people. I think it's just been like a really interesting experience, and I think it's been very helpful.
Yeah. Do you think it gives you a layer of empathy that maybe you wouldn't have had, like for the
I
other
hope
people?
it does.
I hope so too. I'm just like curious about it.
I think it does.
You were once someone else on the team, right?
Right. I mean, I think a good, I guess, kind of example in my shift, like 2 days ago, we had a patient that was having a psychiatric emergency, and it was a very, like, you know, energetically elevating experience. There was a lot of emotions, and it was really intense. And we like had to, you know, go hands-on with this person to make sure that they were safe and make sure that we were all safe. And like, you know, in a different role, I was the person that was going hands-on and getting into contact with a person that, you know, could be dangerous. And whereas now my role is to step back and like run the team and help provide medications. And, you know, it is different. And I think it does help build empathy just because I know what it's like to be in that, you know,
Yeah.
position to have that kind of emotions and like that fear and whatnot. And so I do think it helps, and I think it's provided a perspective for empathy.
So I think one thing medical students always wonder about is how you figured out specialty and at what point you knew, and how you were able to like make that choice. I think a lot of people labor over that choice, and it seems like such a huge thing, especially when you're facing it. What helped you decide about emergency medicine?
I mean, I think similarly, like the experiences that I had helped me decide that that was kind of where I wanted to be. With the roles that I like worked in as an EMT and whatnot, I got to experience hospital medicine and clinic medicine and different specialties, and then, you know, ended up in the emergency department and was able to experience that. And that's kind of where I felt at home with the work, with the patients, and with the other staff people that I worked with. I just felt that we kind of, you know, had similar attitudes and interests and goals. And so I think that it kind of felt in a way like coming home when I worked with that group of people. And so I think that that's, I guess, what was kind of guiding in my experience and what I would hope that other people look for when they're like choosing a medical specialty.
Was anything else in the running at one point? Did you get like pulled a little bit, or was it kind of always like, this is my home base?
It definitely always felt like this was my home base, but like delivering babies, you know, if there was a job where I like didn't have to do gyn residency but only did OB and just delivered babies, I think that'd be really fun too. But I don't really think that that exists, so it kind of always seemed to be the emergency always seems to be the place for me.
Yeah. So when you were in medical school, what was the hardest part about it, do you think?
I mean, medical school is hard, and each year comes with its own set of challenges. And so I think that, you know, it's hard to like, I guess, look at this like, experience that changes so frequently and pick like the one hardest thing. I think in general, third year of medical school like provided me with the most challenge, and I think that that was both from medical school and like what was expected of us as like students like transitioning into the clinical world and like not really knowing what that looks like, in addition to everything else that was going on in the world. COVID was peaking and like our schedules kind of got thrown up in the air right before we were supposed to start, and like the whole clinical
Remember
environment
that.
changed. And so like that you know certainly threw things through a loop, and then dealing with some like personal family kind of challenges that year. I think that all of that together just made third year like a very challenging year for me.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And that was a unique year too, for sure, on many levels with everything that was going on with COVID and so forth. And your schedule did get like put in a blender, I understand. Yeah,
It did,
was
yes.
one thing I wonder about is the idea of now. Like you're about halfway through your training, you're very set in your career, in residency. Is your perception of what is hard and what challenges you different now? Like the things that you viewed as difficult in medical school, and now looking back and looking at what you're doing now, has that shifted?
It certainly has shifted. I mean, some of the challenges I think remain the same, and I think that's just like the nature of medicine. But certainly, I think each set of challenges that you experience through this process, like, kind of prepares you for the next set, which is, I think, kind of the whole point, right? We're supposed to be learning from a new experience and then being able to take that and like apply it to the next thing, so that we're like constantly like building on this, clinical set of knowledge, but also this bigger, broader, just like experience. And so some of the things that like I don't really feel like have changed is scheduling. That is just always hard. We work so much. You work so much as a med student, and then you go to residency and you still work so much, and the work is different and the expectations are different, but you're still just spending so much time doing this thing that your time outside of work is limited. Choosing how you're going to spend that time and how to prioritize things, like that's always going to be a challenge. But the day-to-day work and the day-to-day expectations are the things that seem to continue to change.
I think this is obviously universal. Having time for things, prioritizing things, limited schedule, what matters? How do you prioritize the things that matter to you outside of the day-to-day grind of work?
Yeah.
And what does that even look like? And I never use the word balance because I don't think it's actually healthy to say like, oh, I'm in perfect equilibrium with like what's going on. I'm able to do everything. So what does that look like for you?
Yeah, I agree that the balance word just like it's just not realistic. I feel like because I think that things just have a tendency to change. And what I don't think I recognize as a med student moving into residency is like we rotate similar to the way we did in med school. And so each block of rotation is going to come with its own schedule and set of challenges and the way that you can interact with things outside of work. And I kind of appreciate that because sometimes you get onto a hard rotation in the ICU and you just know that it's going to be a month of grinding. And when that's like when I'm going into those months, I like prioritize getting physical activity every day, even if it's 30 minutes before I go to my shift of just like riding my bike or, I have a plan of how I'm going to be able to exercise every day because I know if I don't do that, then I start to like go into the spiral of anxiety. Whereas like when I'm on blocks that are a little bit, lighter and whatnot, I, expand that exercise. I, prioritize activities with friends and, I'm able to like incorporate more. And I just know that there's going to be some flexibility in how I spend that time.
I know with me, I have like this version, like the ideal version of getting a little bit of physical activity. And then I'm like, the post work. It's not ideal, but I'll still be able to do it. And then I have the dumpster fire version at 9:30, which means like getting my heart rate up for 10 minutes,
Yes,
Like, but I
absolutely.
understand all of that. Like, and if I don't get it, if I'm not able to do that exercise piece, I do feel that anxiety uptick. I'm like, I'm not really feeling like myself right now, and I have to like regroup about that. So yeah, that makes perfect sense. When you started residency, I have a question about. You moved away, maybe from your social network, new place for you, right? Like completely new place. What was that like? And do you have any thoughts about what helped you sort of find community?
Certainly. I mean, I think that that transition is like it can be quite challenging, and it was for me just because this move for me was almost 3,000 miles away to a place that I had been for like a month, but didn't really have anybody that I know out here. I think it was a very powerful experience for me and one that I deeply benefited from just because I had spent so much time in Utah, in Salt Lake City, in the University of Utah kind of system. That like I really did feel that I needed to experience other perspectives and other ways of, working and systems and things like that. And so I'm glad that I did it, but it was challenging. I think that the cool thing about our career path is that we're cohorted in med school and then in residency. And so you do show up and you are in this group with 10 to 20 or however many people are in your residency, and you're kind of strangers, but kind of not, because you do have a lot of shared experiences, even if they look slightly differently. And so I think that there's a lot to like bond over. And then as you like transition through your orientation and start intern year, and you're like suddenly a doctor and can order all these meds that you've never been able to do before. And it's scary and fun and, you know, exciting and all those things. And I think having those people that are going through that with you, it just creates a really strong community really fast, which I think is vital.
So for you, getting away was, although I'm sure stressful and like totally uprooting yourself, you feel like the benefits just outweigh anything that was viewed as a negative thing, leaving?
Oh, I absolutely think so. I think what I've recognized over this experience of med school and residency is that like frequently the times in which I feel my absolute best and feel like I've really grown and am like becoming the person that I want to be are like always after times of struggle and hardship. And so I think that that's just like one more, you know, kind of experience to put in that bucket of this. It was really hard and it was really challenging, but I think that it's benefited me and helped me to grow in ways that I didn't necessarily expect.
Yeah. So we're kind of dancing around the real MD lens of like meaning, community, and purpose. And I always remember when I start thinking, oh, I'm going to talk to Sadie, or I hear about how you're doing or something. I remember the workbook, which you were the one who spearheaded the real MD workbook. Can you talk about the workbook? Why you did it? And now it's like in its, I think it's in its fourth. There's like four or five versions now. And we have a university in Texas, a medical school in Texas is now fully using it. They have a Texas version of this workbook. And so I don't know if you knew that, but
I didn't.
So you started that and you do these things when you're a medical student and you were part of RealMD. What do you think about that?
I think that I cannot take that much credit for the workbook. I think
you were a major figure to make sure the workbook happened.
Yes, I
remember
think,
when you took it on. We were in a meeting. We were deciding things we were going to do, and I remember when you took it on. And it's just like lived on. It continues, you know.
I mean, that makes my heart very happy to know that that work has continued. I hope to benefit people. Like, I hope people still find benefit from it. But I think it started as a project to just kind of compile and like put in writing some of the things that we would talk about and some of the values and core pieces of the RealMD program. And then I just really compiled a lot of it. I think that there was so much contribution from everybody that, you know, as part of the RealMD program, and so much work that Tony Tsai had already done, that we just kind of put it into you know, print and paper. And I think overall, whether you use a workbook or not, I think that what it provides is just a space for like designated reflection, where it asks a question and you don't have to think about that question and come up with an answer to it. And to be honest, I think that I could benefit from doing that more frequently. I don't think that there's as much time or as much space provided for that in residency. But I do think that there's a lot of benefit to just like sitting down and thinking about some hard or easy questions from time to time.
Yeah, I agree. We had a lot of content and it was compiled, but it needed to like exist somewhere and have this idea of reflection associated with it. And I do think reflection is hard. I remember a student asking me once, what is self-reflection? And my initial reaction was, oh yeah, that's easy to answer. And then I'm like, actually, that's kind of a hard,
that's really hard.
Hard to answer, because I think it's different for everyone. Dr. Sample gave me one of the best definitions, which was that you are enabling like a moment where you sort of step out of time just a little bit. And you ask yourself a series of questions. And one that I always sort of ask is, what's happening right now? And how do I feel about what's happening? And another question might be like, am I doing the things that I care about and that give me some sort of fulfillment? And I never think that fulfillment is comfort, because I don't, like you said earlier, I think a lot of the things that we end up growing from are not comfortable, are those moments where you move 3,000 miles away, or, but self-reflection over the years has become this thing of taking an experience that happens to you, that like flashes by the movie screen of your life, and realizing something about it. It's like actually noticing something about it, as opposed to just being like an observer of it. But anyway, the workbook really started us down that road for all of us. And I think you're right in saying, like, yeah, we put this workbook together, but then, like, you know, using it and doing it regularly is like a whole other thing.
It sure is. Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't think that residency has maybe there's not as much time or not as much thought around self-reflection, maybe?
It doesn't always seem that way. And I think that that is just because the work that we do is different than you did as a med student. And I think that there's just like less time and less structure built into residency for that. I mean, we certainly, have like our mentors that we connect with, and that provide some space, for that reflection, but it's not always as like structured, where there's like a specific set aside time with questions that you're going to think about or an experience that you're going to process. And sometimes I think that that could be beneficial.
Yeah. It's true. I mean, I have the same thing. When life is busy, that's like one of the first things to go. It's like I just got to get all this stuff done. And then when I take a moment and reflect, I'm like, oh yeah, that feels really good. I should do more of that, you
Yeah,
know.
exactly.
Another thing in RealMD that we talk about in the workbook and we talk about a lot are like finding real and strong relationships, mentor relationships, and I always say like positive role models, because I think you can find, I mean, there's a lot of different role models. Sometimes you meet someone and you're like, I don't want to be like that, you know, so maybe like a negative role model. But specifically in RealMD, there's a kind of a conversation about you got to find people who are really affirming and positive and that you can have meaningful relationships with. Can you think of people along the way that you've created those kind of relationships with? Maybe share a couple.
Oh yeah, I mean certainly. I mean being a part of RealMD was like kind of like it had that like I guess kind of structured mentorship, and it just so happened that the mentors there were like great. Like working with you, Tom and Tony, like I think that there was a lot of like positive mentorship there. And while you both don't necessarily work in medicine, I think that there was a lot of mentorship to be gained and like the professional career kind of building aspect of things, and kind of like making sure work that we're doing was like consistently centered around our values and whatnot, which I think we don't often talk about enough. As far as like more clinical mentoring and whatnot, like certainly Megan Fix, who is just like the queen of mentorship. She was a very strong and powerful mentor for me in med school. I mean, almost from day one. And I think I guess I attribute ending up in Maine and ending up in this like residency a lot to her, kind of like guidance and whatnot. And so I think that she should take some credit for that. And then as I've transitioned into residency, I've certainly found mentors here that have been very powerful for, multiple kind of aspects. And I think that that's like the amazing thing about mentorship, is that you can have multiple mentors for kind of different questions and different advice that's needed. And I do appreciate all the people that I've come to find here in Maine.
It's good. And it is a group, you know, it's like a village of people that engage with you at certain times and help you. I think the myth of the medical student is like, I'm going to find that one mentor that's going to be everything for me, you know, fulfill all my needs, you know, sort of a thing. Maybe one of the questions is, how did you create such a strong relationship with Dr. Fix? Like, are there things you can think about that you did or that she did? I think that's the big, like, sort of puzzle that students are trying to figure out. Like, how am I going to go from not knowing these people at all, or having maybe shadowed them once, and then all of a sudden I'm supposed to, you know, find this person or group of people who are going to really help me, who I can really talk to?
I mean, mentors can come as assigned, or they can like develop more authentically, like just by interacting from like shadowing and whatnot. And I think that the kind of key pieces in my mind is to like have consistent contact, whether that be like over projects you're working on or like meeting up for coffee or, like having like a consistent interactions with that person so that every time you meet, it doesn't always feel like this like weird, awkward, professional kind of meeting. And then I think having like specific goals or questions in mind for that mentor when you're working with them is like pretty key, so that the mentor then has concrete things to provide you with to help you reach whatever goal or thing that you're working on, whether that just be like getting career advice or, help with a specific research project. I think it's like important to have like a specific set of questions or things you want to discuss with them.
Yeah, I think so too. You don't want to go there and not have an idea of what you're asking them to spend time with you for. That makes sense.
And I
You've
think,
trans Yeah, go
I guess
ahead.
the only other thing that I would potentially add to that is just like having like an authentic relationship with them. Being able to like open up and be honest and authentic is like, I think the most kind of important piece to all of that, like being a human.
I know, and yet that seems like the most elusive part. It's like, how do I start opening up, or at what point do I, take it to that next level? I think students feel really anxious about that, like how to
Yeah.
do it. Yeah. So you have transitioned to being a part of maybe mentors for other people, right? How has that transition gone, and do you feel like you have opportunities to mentor, and what does that look like?
I mean, there's certainly becoming more and more opportunities as I like work through residency. I am going to be a chief resident next year, which is really exciting, and I think that will come with a fair amount of mentorship as we will be like the key people or key points of contact for our like new interning or our new incoming intern class that's about to match in just under 2 months, I think. And so I think that will be a really big place for that. Even just with some of our like current interns, Jess Larson, if you remember her, she's also a University of Utah alum. Who I like had the pleasure of working with as a med student. We worked together quite a bit, and then now she's coming out here, and it's fun to like continue that relationship and be able to be a point of contact and a mentor in whatever, I guess, way that she might view that in and that I might view that in has been really great.
One question I have is looking back at the Sadie as a medical student and all you've been through, all we've just talked about, what would you say to yourself if you could do that thing where like the future you goes back, or the current you goes back to the past medical student version of you? Are there things you would want to say or advice you would give?
I mean, I think the thing that I've been reflecting on and thinking about most recently is just this whole idea of giving yourself grace. You just like go through so many changes and so many like transition points throughout this whole process, like from day one. And the person that you start as is not necessarily the person that you'll end as, and your interests and your values and things will likely change and start to take shape and become more concrete as you go through this process. But the way that those things are practiced might change from day to day. And I think that that's been something that's always been challenging. And I think, I guess, to provide a more like concrete example of this is during fourth year of med school, like I just really threw myself into like the outdoors and physical activity and rock climbing. And I spent so much time doing all these things and getting really, proficient at a lot of things and spending a lot of time outside and camping. And it was, in retrospect, one of the best years of my adult life. It was just so fun. And I connected so well with so many of my colleagues and my coworkers. And I view that year as an invaluable year. But then as I've transitioned into residency, like there's just not time to, I guess, maintain those things to the level that I was. And during the first year of residency, that came as like a really hard thing for me to deal with. And I like felt in some ways that I was losing pieces of my identity. But like as I've kind of come to terms and, given myself grace to kind of recognize just life is changing, I think that I found that value in other aspects of my career and my process, with the understanding that this residency isn't forever and there will probably be time in the future at some point where I can, pick those hobbies and those things back up at, you know, greater intensity that I would have preferred to be able to maintain. That's just not realistic at this point.
Yeah, there's seasons of things. And I love the how you did like take that opportunity during your fourth year to really, I think there was like a wellness outdoors, learning things, taking on new things. That was really great to see. So what are those things during residency that feed you and keep you sane now?
Yeah, I think recognizing and remembering what brought you into medicine in the first place, you know, can keep you grounded. And that can be really hard from day to day when you just feel like you're kind of in a grind. But you know, I have this, I live 10-minute walk from the hospital. And so I walk to work every day and walk home. And I use that 10 minutes as I'm walking home to think back to the patient encounters that I had that day. Try to at least pick one patient encounter or one encounter that I had with my team where I was like, this felt like a really positive thing. Like, this is the thing that's filling my cup from this day. And especially doing that on the days where you're like, man, that shift just really kicked me down. and trying to find the thing that was fulfilling in that shift, because that's the job, and you kind of have to find the reasons that you're staying in that job every day, which I think is the most important thing from a day-to-day perspective. I think outside of that, you know, I've talked about making sure that I'm staying active every day in some way, shape, or form, creating a really strong community here with my co-residents and my co-residents' partners has been, like, you know, invaluable, so that there's a space to vent about challenging interactions that you've had and vent about, you know, residency as a whole, because it can be, you know, really hard sometimes. And then having a place to have that positive, you know, energy where you know, can celebrate running a really challenging code with friends, and you're like, this was really cool that we're learning together and we get to do this and we get to, like, make impact in people and families' lives, and we're like doing it together is really cool.
Yeah, I really like these practical examples. So thank you for sharing that. I think about, you know, we talked about reflection, and then I think about this 10-minute walk that you have to and from work, and especially coming home. You know, often it's like I'm on the bus or I'm walking or you know, I have a moment to myself and I'm on a screen, you know, and I'm not really taking in what happened. I'm not allowing myself to think about like what just happened to me and sort it, you know, like you were saying. So one of my colleagues here always says, you can't always do the king size version of stuff. The fun size is actually still pretty good, you know. Maybe you should try the fun size, you know, because to throw it completely out, like I don't have time to do this or that, you know, I think we miss an opportunity. So I love talking to you, and I'm just happy that we have a chance to reconnect. Even the other day, I was thinking, like, how great is it that we started working on RealMD together as this group of students and staff and faculty, and then we still get to check in, and that means a lot. And you're still doing meaning, community, and purpose. Like, those things are still happening for
Yeah.
you. Very comforting to me, you know? To like
Yeah.
see those things live on. Here you are, resident Sadie, doing these things, you know?
Yeah.
So thank you. Thanks for the conversation today.
Yeah, no, thank you. It's good to feel like I'm coming home for a few minutes.
This episode of the RealMD podcast is produced and edited by Tom Hurtado and Ali Day. Special thanks to Scott Singpil, Scope Radio, and University of Utah Health. The RealMD podcast is part of the RealMD program at the Spencer Fox Eccles School of Medicine at the University of Utah, which helps medical students find meaning, community, and purpose during their training and future careers. Our theme song, Energizer Bunny, is by my son's band, Hurtado. You can find our podcast on major platforms, and if you like what you hear, please follow us or subscribe. You can also help us grow by giving us a 5-star review and sharing an episode with a friend. Thank you so much for listening.